Mahamsa Padarajaka Charja Ashutarasata Sri Shriman ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Holy Parents Day of Lord Ramachandra Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So on this sacred appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, I've decided to make a presentation in two parts. First part is from the ninth canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, for those who want to follow on their computers. There's a summary. The summary of that chapter is a summary of the appearance and activities of Lord Ram. So we'll read that first. And then in the third chapter of the first canto, there's this verse that's on the board. We'll recite that and read Prabhupada's purport. So let me just find my place here. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Lord Chaitanya's discussions with Sanatana Goswami, he explains quite thoroughly about the different types of avatars. There's Yuga avatars, Leela avatars, Shaktivesha avatars, Manvantara avatars. So which category does Lord Ram fall into? Who knows? What kind of avatar? Yes, he's a Leela avatar. He's not one of the Yuga avatars. He's definitely not Shaktivesh. He's not a Manvantara avatar. He's a Leela avatar. So let me find a space here. Okay, here we are. This is a chapter summary. The 10th chapter of the 9th canto is entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Ramachandra.
Is there some water?
I think Krishna Padman. Yeah, here it is. Perfect timing. Thank you. So this chapter is summarized as follows. This 10th chapter describes how Lord Ramachandra appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Katwanga. It also describes the Lord's activities, telling how he killed Ravana and returned to Ayodhya, the capital of his kingdom. The son of Maharaj Katwanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was Raghu. The son of Raghu was Aja. The son of Aja was Dasarath. And the son of Dhatarath was Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord descended into this world in his full quadruple expansion as Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, great sages like Valmiki, who were actually in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, described his transcendental pastimes. Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes these pastimes in brief. Lord Ramachandra went with Vishwamitra and killed Rakshasas like Maricha. Actually, Vishwamitra approached Lord King Dasarath and asked for him to send Ramachandra and Lakshman to help kill these Rakshasas. So there's a very famous line that the king said to the sage Vishwamitra when he came to the court. Prabhupada used to recite that, actually recited it several times. The king said to the sage, Aishtang Yattat Punar Janma Jayaya. He was inquiring. He said, Prabhupada said, just like when you meet some friend or a gentleman meets another gentleman, you say, how are you? How are things going? So the king Dasarath, he said to the sage, Aishtang Yattat Punar Janma Jayaya. How is your business of conquering death going on? So Prabhupada explains, this should be all of our business. We're all meant to conquer over death. Punar janma jayaya. No more death. No more birth. We're meant to conquer this. So this was the inquiry of the king. After breaking the stout and strong bow known as Haridhanu, The Lord married Mother Sita and cut down the prestige of Parashuram. To obey the order of his father, he entered the forest accompanied by Lakshmana and Sita. There he cut off the nose of Shurpanakha and killed the associates of Ravana headed by Kara and Dushana. Ravana's kidnapping of Sita Devi was the beginning of this demon's misfortune. When Maricha assumed the form of a golden deer, Lord Ramachandra went to bring the deer to please Sita Devi. But in the meantime, Ravana took advantage of the Lord's absence to kidnap her. When Sita Devi was kidnapped, Lord Ramachandra, accompanied by Lakshmana, searched for her throughout the forest. In the course of this search, they met Jatayu. Then the Lord killed the demon Kabanda and the commander Vali and established a friendly relationship with Sugriva. After organizing the military strength of the monkeys and going with them to the shore of the sea, the Lord awaited the arrival of Samudra, the ocean personified. But when Samudra did not come, the Lord, the master of Samudra, became angry. Then Samudra came to the Lord with great haste and surrendered to him, wanting to help him in every way. It's described that when Lord Ramachandra became angry with the ocean, just by his glance, and this is another example of his divinity, he came in the guise of a human being, but he displayed certainly his divinity in different ways. So this is one way. By getting angry, he just glanced at the ocean and it became so hot, Prabhupada describes in one lecture, that all the aquatics were becoming uncomfortable. All the inhabitants of the ocean, they were feeling major discomfort because the Lord was able to heat up the ocean just by glancing at it. The Lord then attempted to bridge the ocean, and with the help of advice from Vibhishana, he attacked Ravana's capital, Lanka. Previously, Hanuman, the eternal servant of the Lord, had set fire to Lanka, and now, with the help of Lakshmana, the forces of Lord Ramachandra killed all the Rakshasa soldiers. Then, Lord Ramachandra personally killed Ravana. How did he kill him? With an arrow, yes. Special arrow to the heart. Because Ravana had so many benedictions that it was very difficult to kill him. He had 10 heads, and every time you'd cut one head off, it would just sprout up again. Mandadari and other wives lamented for Ravana, and in accordance with Lord Ramachandra's order, Vibhishana performed the funeral ceremonies for all the dead in the family. Lord Ramachandra then gave Vibhishana the right to rule Lanka and also granted him a long duration of life. The Lord delivered Sita Devi from the Ashok forest and carried her in a flower airplane to his capital, Ayodhya, where he was received by his brother Bharata. When Lord Ramachandra entered Ayodhya, Bharata brought his wooden shoes. Vibhishana and Sugriva held a whisk and fan. Hanuman carried an umbrella. Shatrughna carried the Lord's bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot containing water from holy places. Angada carried a sword and Jambavan, Rikshiraj, carried a shield. After Lord Ramachandra, accompanied by Lord Lakshmana and Mother Sita Devi, met all his relatives, the great sage Vasishtha enthroned him as king. The chapter ends with a short description of Lord Ramachandra's rule in Ayodhya. So this is a summary given to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami, as Prabhupada described, just gave a brief overview of this very, very wonderful pastime. I know Sura has been reading in depth this pastime recently, so maybe we can consult him later on for some finer points. But now I'd like to go to this verse in the first canto, and we can recite it together. Let me just find it here. So it's 1:3:22. Narideva tvam apanaha sura karya chikirshaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryani ataha param. Narideva tvam apanaha Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param Naradeva Tvamapanna Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param Naradeva Tvamapanna Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param. Please chant. Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param. Naradeva Tamapanna Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param. Vaishnavis. Naradeva Tvamapanna Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param. Naradeva Tamapana Surakarya Chakirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryanatak Param. Nara, human being. Devatvam, divinity. Apanaha, having assumed the form of Sura, the demigods, Karya, activities, Chakirshaya, for the purpose of performing, Samudra, the Indian Ocean, Nigraha Adini, controlling, and so on. Chakre, did perform Viryani, superhuman prowess, Atakparam, thereafter. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse: in the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Please repeat. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The personality of Godhead, Sri Rama, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with the spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. That's a pretty heavy statement, because this is going on a regular basis. So much money is being spent for this attempt. We'll discuss that a little more later on. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planet so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. So, if Ravana had been successful, if there actually was a staircase from here to the planet of Indra, who would take that journey? Anybody here would want to walk on that staircase from the earth planet to the heaven? Sounds pretty scary to me, unless it was motorized or something like that, but that's a long hike. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Rama, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife Sita. Of course, Lord Rama came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is a subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones, even within this earth, to be weightless, and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Srinivari Paschacha Deshtarine Om Gyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Taptakanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindamaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Praying Vancha Kopatarubhyascha Kripasan Nubi Evacha, Patitanang, Pavanevio, Vaisavevio, Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a perfect opportunity in the appearance day of the Lord to glorify the Lord as much as possible. Lord Ramachandra's activities are wonderful. We should meditate on them. Here in today's purport, to this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit why the Lord comes. On the prayer of the demigods, to do some pleasing work for the demigods, in this same chapter, third chapter of the first canto, there's that verse explaining that all of these incarnations are emanations from Krishna. Most of you know, Ete Chang Sakala Pungsam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. And then the last two lines explain why the Lord comes. Indriyari Vyakulam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. That Indriyari, Indra, Lord, Indra is the, not necessarily the head demigod. Lord Brahma is given that position. Devadeva Jagadhatu. Lord Rama is referred to as Devadeva, the Lord of all the demigods. But Indra is considered to be the chief, one of the chief demigods. So Indriyari, whenever there are the enemies of Indra, Indra is counted as asura, as a demigod, so the animals of the demigods are the asuras, the demons. So whenever the demons give trouble to the demigods, Indra vyakilam lokam, on any planet within the universe, because this is going on everywhere, not just on one particular planet. Murdayanti yuge yuge. And so in every yuga, the Lord comes to take care of, to rectify the situation, just like we have a police force. Why? Why is there a police force? Why is there a military? Because it's known in advance that people are going, somebody's going to step outside the bounds of proper behavior, behavior that's established by the state. So they have to be ready to deal with it. So the Lord is always ready to come and deal with these demons who are trying to upset the established order, trying to challenge the order of the Lord. Now it's very interesting that in this purport, Prabhupada mentions about the scientists. Because generally speaking, people in general, they may not think that the scientists are challenging the order of the Lord. They're doing their thing, trying to improve humanity and advance scientific knowledge. And people don't necessarily think that they're going against the order or established order of the Lord. But this is what Prabhupada says here. He specifically mentions this attempt to fly from planet to planet by mechanical means as being a challenge to the order of the Lord. It's not just a challenge, it's a wasteful challenge. I did some research and just, we take NASA, the National Aeronautical and Space Administration, NASA, that we have here. In the last 50 years, from 58 till now, their budget has been about $800 billion. Think about that. $800 billion. That is incredible. What have they given us? Does anybody here feel that they've gotten their money's worth from NASA? $800 billion? What have they given us? Well, we've given you the space shuttle program. Okay, the space shuttle program alone in 10 years, a little more than 10 years, they've spent about $200 billion. Each shuttle costs about $4 billion to create. And each space shuttle mission is about $1.7 billion. It costs about $450 million just to launch it off the pad. And what have we gotten from the space shuttle program? Anybody here feel enriched by the space shuttle program? I tell you what we've gotten. The most memorable feature of the space shuttle program were the two that blew up. In 1976, Challenger, 73 seconds after liftoff, blew up. Everybody remembers that. Nobody can think of anything particular that we got in our daily lives from that program, space program, shuttle program. But that you remember, 76 when the Challenger blew up. And then in 83, Columbia, when it was coming back in, disintegrated because this heat shields weren't properly fixed. So those two things we remember. Very spectacular. But was it worth $200 billion? Or the entire NASA program, $800 billion in 50 years? I would say not. And I think most people would agree that we would much rather have that money spent. You know, this is coming out of American taxpayer dollars. And now we understand and get a little bit of insight into why this country is bankrupt. They waste money like anything. This is just NASA. We're not even talking about all the other programs that they have. Just NASA by itself has wasted $800 billion in 50 years. There are 300 million Americans. So just out of their hard-earned money, all of this tax money, this is how it's being spent. Now we would say if a fraction of that had been given to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the world would be a much better place for it. Prabhupada said all these leaders, when he was in Chicago at that time and the police were wondering crime, why and what to do, he challenged the devotees and said, now is the time for all of you, preachers in ISKCON, this is a good time to preach. Go out and give them this formula, give them this solution. That yes, you're confused about crime. Yes, you're confused about the budget and taxation and all that. Here's the answer. Spend money to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement on a grand scale. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And widespread distribution of prasadam. This will give people practical return on their investment. Practical, they'll see, practically, just like so many Prabhupada used to say. so many of your parents and so many of religionists, they're dumbfounded at how you boys and girls who never used to set foot into any church or synagogue, now you're mad after God. You never used to go to any church, synagogue, mosque, anything like that, but now you're mad after God. You're going to temple every day. Why? He said, this is practical. It's not that I've bribed you. You're not Indian. So this is not the answer. The answer is because it works. The Krishna consciousness movement works. This formula of chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna prasadam, and glorifying the Lord from authorized bona fide sources, it works. It actually cleanses the heart, cleanses the consciousness. People become spiritually advanced by following this path. We should know from our own practical experience where we were before we started seriously following Prabhupada and where we are now. We should see some improvement. So imagine if this was spread on a wider scale. It is beneficial for society. Some segments of society may not agree, but that's because they want to challenge the established order of the Lord. They want to hold on to their demoniac propensities. There are so many calamities in the world nowadays. Natural disasters, overburden of taxation, which is predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam, families falling apart, so many calamities. And these can be avoided if people take to the Krishna consciousness movement. People may say, yeah, you can avoid earthquakes and tsunamis. Yes! Yes, actually, it is so. If sufficient people follow the path of Krishna consciousness, then all of that becomes rectified. It becomes changed. Mother Earth is a person. She's reacting to the burden of the demoniac society that's on her surface right now, and that's why there's so many natural calamities. But the Earth becomes pleased when more and more people take to the path of God consciousness. In the Padyavali, there's a nice verse that states that Lord Brahma becomes pleased that he breaks out his madhuparka to worship anybody who even thinks of chanting Hare Krishna. Think about that. If you even think about chanting the holy names of the Lord, Lord Brahma is ready to worship you. So what to speak of those who have actually taken to the chanting of Hare Krishna? It is stated in the scriptures that when the deities go in procession, just like we now, every time we have a festival, we take the deities on procession. It is stated that if even a chandala, just out of curiosity, looks at the deity as the deity goes by in procession, he is counted as one of the associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha. So the Krishna consciousness movement is very practical. Practical for our current material situation, what to speak of beyond that for the next life. Practical for this life and the next. So this is the proper use of money. They're taxing the citizens, and at least a fraction of that tax should be spent in this way. Not that $800 billion should be literally thrown down the toilet. What do we have to show? And that's just a fraction of it. They have all these really, really high-powered telescopes that cost billions of dollars to look farther and farther out in the universe so they can tell us wrongly that there was a Big Bang and everything came from that Big Bang. It is nonsense. Literally, it is nonsense. Even in the scientific community, so many people don't agree with it. It is nonsense, this Big Bang, because everybody knows, even a child knows after seeing a firecracker. If something explodes, yes, it dashes out and then everything falls down and that's it. You don't get this order and symmetry and you don't get that out of an explosion. It is not possible. It is not possible. It's just a pipe dream to prevent or avoid surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a pipe dream. They'll say, well, you say there is a God, you know, where did God come from? So where did your singularity come from? You know, they say the Big Bang came from an infinitesimally small point of infinite density, and so where did that come from? So you have to accept something as being pre-existing, either God or your singularity, which makes more sense. So they're simply wasting money and encouraging people to go to hell instead of encouraging them to go back to Godhead. So we need to take advantage of this atmosphere of non-stop calamities on a personal and worldwide scale to preach Krishna consciousness strongly, to give people this alternative. That all of this sectarian violence that's going on in the world can disappear if everybody takes to the non-sectarian chanting of the holy names of God. We're not saying that you're a Muslim, become a Hindu, you're a Christian, become a Jain. No. Just chant the holy names of God and your heart will be cleansed no matter which camp you think you're coming from. Chant the holy names of the Lord and Mother Earth will be pleased and these natural calamities will subside. Chant the holy names of the Lord and you will become enlivened and enlightened and encouraged to do the right thing with your life. People are at, especially when these big calamities are happening, they're at a loss. What am I supposed to do with my life? You go to school for so many years and you get a good job and you this and then it all in a second can be taken away. We see the power of that tsunami. That's literally within 60 seconds, entire small cities on the coast of Japan were wiped off the sea. So people become bewildered. What am I supposed to do? You know, I can't fight against this kind of force of nature. What are we supposed to do? What is life meant for? People start to question. So this is where we come in. With Srila Prabhupada's books, it's a perfect time to distribute books, to distribute this knowledge, to give people understanding, concrete understanding of who they are, why they're here, what they're supposed to do with their lives. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, it's all there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Recently we're on the verge of releasing a re-edited version of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so I'm reading through it now just to make sure everything is okay, because, you know, we, as many eyes as possible that read before the book goes to the printer, the better. And it's just, it reminded me of how powerful that one book is, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada put so much into that book. Now we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we expanded, you know, knowledge of different sections that were there in the TLC. But the TLC is such a powerful book. You hand somebody that book and they take it home and read it, and if their socks aren't blown off, then they're not conscious. Any conscious personality that would read that book, your socks will be blown off, your hair will be standing on it. It's just so powerful. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, explaining about the avatars, different kinds of avatars, Lord Chaitanya. Very, very powerful. So these books of Srila Prabhupada, this is the time for them to go out in society so people can see. Here, more and more in Southern California, people are becoming aware that this could happen here at any moment. So it's a perfect time to go out and give them this. So many wars are going on and the U.S. military is getting sucked into so many conflicts. Perfect time to approach them and give them. I remember when the first Gulf War was just starting, I was in San Diego and I was distributing during the marathon at the San Diego airport. A lot of young men were getting shipped off to Iraq and they were very eager. Ordinarily, it's very, very tough to distribute. Some or others, and San Diego is even tougher than L.A. for distributing books. You go to the airport there or anywhere, it's just a very, very tough place. Because people are so complacent. They feel it's, you know, yeah, we got it together, everything's nice. You know, you do your thing, but I'm just not interested. But when they were getting ready to go to Iraq, they were very interested. It's a long trip from San Diego to Iraq. A lot of time to read. So they were taking Gitas like anything. So this is a good time to go out in the public and give them these books that answer all their questions. All their questions, and prepare them. And even if they don't read immediately, they'll benefit. Recently, I got a call from a young man. I'd say fairly young. He sounded young anyway. He's in White Plains, New York. So he said about 5 years ago, he went for a job interview in downtown Manhattan. And he knew after the interview he wasn't going to get the job, so he was bummed out. And he went to Washington Square Park, and he was he was sitting there. And he was approached by a devotee. In full Vaishnava gear, you know, dhoti, kurta, tilak. So he knew. And he asked him, "Are you a Hare Krishna?" And the devotee said, "Yeah." So he took a SSR, Science of Self-Realization. And he said, "I didn't have any money." And I told him, frankly, "I can't pay for this book." And he said, "Will you read it?" I said, "Yeah." And so he said, "Okay, you take it." So he said, I took it home and it actually sat on the shelf for like 5 years. I didn't read it. Until recently, I picked it up. And he said, I was so blown away by this book. That's why he called. He called the BBT. He wanted a catalog so he could order more books. So we should see. These books are potent. Even if people don't read them immediately. Sometimes they don't even read them at all. It gets passed on to a family member or somebody else, friend, whatever. Doesn't matter. That's Prabhupada used to say, your business is not whether this person comes to Krishna or not. Your business is to go out and invite them. Leave it up to Krishna. You don't worry about what's going to happen with that book or that samosa or whatever you're distributing. Your duty and your success is just to go out and make the attempt. So we just have to attempt. Go out and attempt to preach Krishna consciousness in this time and circumstances, great calamity in society. And just don't worry about whether it's successful or not. Just make the attempt and leave it up to Krishna. So Lord Ramachandra came to set the example of an ideal king. And Prabhupada also said in the fifth canto, which we passed through recently, there was a verse there, residents of, forget which dvipa, they were glorifying Lord Ramachandra. So it stated there, Lord Ramachandra came also to show that married life is troublesome. That was the point made in that particular verse. That it was troublesome to go and rescue Sita, but it was stated there that it is the business of the husband, even if it's troublesome, to protect the wife. That is part of your duty when you become a husband. You have to give protection to your wife. And so Lord Ramachandra also set this example, that one wife to the husband, don't covet anymore, just like even in the Christian tradition it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Take one wife, stick with her. And even though it may be troublesome, you have to perform your duties. Of course, if you can avoid the whole thing, that's also nice, but not artificially. You know, there's no proper use to say, you know, what is this business of bachelor daddy? I don't want to get married, but I'm having kids here and there, and this is not acceptable. Take one wife and be satisfied. No bachelor daddy. And yes, it's troublesome, but what is not troublesome in this world? Everything is troublesome in the material world. That's the whole point. This material world is designed in such a way, not for our comfort, but to make us uncomfortable. So we can begin to question, why am I here? What am I doing here in this uncomfortable place? Is there a place where we can avoid all these miseries? And yes, there is. There is. There is the eternal abode of the Lord. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Goloka Vrindavan Ki Jai. That's where we're meant to go. Or Ayodhya, there's also permanent Ayodhya, permanent Dwarka, permanent Mathura, all these permanent abodes of the Lord are there. And depending on whom we're attracted to, in our path we stress the worship of Radha Krishna, but we don't deny or decry the worship of Sitaram. Some devotees are naturally attracted, just like the brother of Rupa and Sanatan, who remembers his name? Anupama. So Anupama was a staunch Ram Bhaktan. And no matter how his brothers tried to get him to get into the Radha Krishna Bhava, he was a Sitaram worshipper. So that's okay. There's no difference on the transcendental platform. If one wants to worship Sitaram instead of Radha Krishna, that's okay. Okay, we can stop here and leave some time for any discussion. If anybody has any questions or comments or points or remembrances of Lord Ram, like I said, Sura's been reading recently. Ramayan, you want to say something, Sura, about Lord Ramachandra? You said what? Okay, anybody else want to say something about Lord Ramachandra? Actually, it's annoying, Prabhu. Give him the microphone.
Thank you, Prabhu. I remember that when Lord Ramachandra was exiled, and his brother Bharat came to look for him. One of the first questions that he asked Lord Ramachandra was, how are the women being treated? How are the elders, the brahmanas, are doing? So that was, you know, like a very touchy for me when I heard that part, that here is the Supreme Lord being exiled, and his whole heart as a father already there, concerned about the you know, the welfare of his people. How are the women doing? Because he knew if the women are doing fine, the government is doing good. If the elder people are taking good care, everything is fine. and the Brahmanas, of course.
Very good point. This is real civilization. Real civilization means Brahminical culture. Varnashram. But the head of Varnashram is the Brahmana. So when there's real Brahminical culture, which means protection of Brahmanas, first of all, sorry ladies, it's given in that order. First, protection of the Brahmanas, then women, children, old men, the cow. When these entities are given proper protection, then you have real civilization. Without that, and because there are no real Kshatriyas in the Kali Yuga anymore, therefore all of these entities are disrespected and abused. Brahmanas, and the cow, mother cow, women, children, old men, all abused because there's no real Kshatriya, no real leaders left. So one of the aspects of the Krishna consciousness movement is to try to reestablish this Brahminical culture. And it's not just a theoretical exercise, it's practical and necessary. We see again that this oil-based economy is falling apart. Even though they haven't run out of oil yet, still it's going to go up so high, $5 a gallon. Who can afford to drive anywhere? We may have to go back to bullock carts. So be prepared. You may have to go on Sankirtan on bicycles and bullock carts. This is what's coming. So we shouldn't wait for it to happen, for everything to totally collapse. One of the things that Prabhupada wanted us to do is to establish these rural farm communities to give especially the women and children safe place to exist, to peacefully prosecute their Krishna consciousness. And those who remain in the cities, you know, are there just for preaching. This was Prabhupada's vision, Prabhupada's idea. So it's not meant for only Bangalore or Mangalore in India. It's meant for right here in the United States. So we have to take it seriously. Those who are out there have money, you know, because, again, Vedic culture is not that the temple makes money and spends it for everybody. That's not Vedic culture. Vedic culture is that everybody makes money and supports the temple community. That's Vedic culture. So those who have money, they're meant to use it in this way, to support the temple communities, to establish these farm communities. This is proper use of your money. A good way to spend your money. Establish these farm communities, rural communities, so that the women and children especially have a safe place to exist and peacefully chant Hare Krishna and take homegrown prasadam. This is what it's meant for. Peaceful existence. In general, people don't have any peace in their lives. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, without peace, there's no question of happiness. You can't be happy if you're not peaceful. So this is what these communities are meant for. And we've been a little bit late. Of course, the Krishna consciousness movement is still young, by, you know, if you compare it to other religious movements. But still, we should set it as a fixed goal. And the more Kali Yuga progresses, the more urgent it becomes to establish these communities where we grow our own food. And Prabhupada used to say, you spend 3-4 months a year growing, and the rest of the time you use for chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anything else? Since there's no breakfast, we can go a little longer. Yes, Vanabhata Prabhu.
Just one small clarification. Outside on one of the posters, there's a quote from Srila Prabhupada from the 10th canto, and he says when Krishna comes, his first business is to give all comfort to the Brahmanas and to the cows. He says actually, comfort for the Brahmanas is secondary, and comfort for the cows comes first.
Right. Yes,
that was pretty striking when I.
Yeah, because Krishna's planet is not called Brahmana Loka; it's called Goloka. Yeah. So as I've asked many times, if you're not comfortable with cows, then why do you want to go back to Goloka? So we have to become comfortable with Mother Cow. We have to worship the cow, take care of her, treat her nicely. Because again, Krishna's business is herding cows. And if you're not comfortable around cows, you're not going to be comfortable around Krishna and his buddies. Because that's all they do. Anything else? Jai. Gantarashimi Bhagavatam ki jai. Lord Ramachandra's appearance day ki jai.